The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. This week on the Radio Today programme, we've got the Queen of Golden Square.
When we found her, she was playing Take That and Cliff Richards on 96.4 The Eagle in Guildford. I think you'll agree this is a slight improvement. Happy 20th anniversary.
Ah, lovely old jingles there, played on actual Absolute Radio this week as well. Yes, Leona Graham is on the podcast this week to tell us about her memories of Virgin Radio 20 years ago. And we'll also find out how she's getting on doing her 52 hours a week on air from home at the moment. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, a birthday for the BBC World Service, Johnny Walker comes ashore with the BBC, and Radio 1 goes 24/7.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
But first, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is back for week 27 of lockdown, or however many we're up to now.
Don't exaggerate, it's week 682 already.
I lose track.
Yeah.
I've no idea what day it is. I'm losing track of what month it is as well, but there we go.
I've lost the will to live.
Well, it didn't take much. There's been quite a bit of nice radio news this week to keep us busy on radiotoday.co.uk.
It really is. One of the few industries with business as usual, I think, isn't it? Every day there's more radio news, more stuff going on, and more people doing fantastic stuff in reaction to lockdown and coronavirus.
Yeah, one of those is going to be Absolute Radio 40s. It had to happen at some point, didn't it?
What a great idea. They're just missing 30s and 50s, I think, now, aren't they? They're going to have to sort that out. Yeah, this was great. I don't know if you saw this on the website or not, but Absolute 40s is not... Well, it is music from the 40s, but it's not a permanent station. It's going to be basically music from the 40s for VE Day, which is on Friday, the 8th of May, isn't it, this year? Which is a bank holiday, which means absolutely nothing at the moment. Because every day is a bank holiday. But this is really good. Tell us all about it, Stuart.
Yeah, so it's the 75th anniversary of VE Day for the end of the war in 1945. And they're going to be playing music from the 1940s. And the interesting thing about this as a pop-up, it is on DAB in London and it's online. But they're also sticking it out on medium wave on 1215 all over the country. What a great idea.
This is going to be fantastic. I'm going to buy an AM radio with a dodgy reception and just have it playing out the way it should be in 1945 Britain, with it whooshing and whishing in the background, and Vera Lynn. It's not even Vera Lynn, it's before that. Was Vera Lynn?
Yeah, Vera Lynn era. Yeah, singing, Vera Lynn was around, like, in the war.
Of course, yeah, it's 1945. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I'm so looking forward to that. That'd be really good. And there's a thread on Twitter from Paul Sylvester which explains all about it, and it's not what you think. It's fascinating. It's on E-Radio this week as well.
Fabulous. And the main Absolute Radio station is going to be reflecting what was going on in 1945 on VE Day in real time during its news bulletins throughout the day as well.
You're joking?
Yeah, they're doing that too. And obviously all the parties and things around the country that were planned for the VE Day 75th anniversary, a lot of those are not happening. In fact, hopefully most of them are not happening, certainly not in person. There is one in my town. I think they're going to have a kind of virtual thing and do it online. So lots of places doing that and getting involved in the celebrations. So great to have a radio station on air for 24 hours as well, celebrating the 1940s and some of the great music from then. And of course, stuff that was happening on VE Day back in the day.
Yeah, well done, Paul and Sam and everybody involved in that. Looking forward to it. That's what radio is about, isn't it? Just think of an idea and there it is. It's on the radio within weeks. It's fantastic.
Yeah, a couple of other things going on coronavirus related as well. We mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago about community stations being able to take their BBC local radio bulletins. Well, commercial stations can now do the same. So all the BBC local radio stations around England and Radio Wales and Radio Cymru and the services in Northern Ireland and Scotland, if you're a community or commercial radio station in any area where the BBC has a local or nation's service, you can put out their news bulletins. Again, great working together going on during this crisis.
Yeah, and maybe hopefully something that will continue, not in as much detail, but something that continue post-depression or whatever we're calling this particular era. Yeah, it's good. And obviously, if you can do your own bulletins on a commercial radio station, then obviously continue to do so, because that's what it's all about. But if you've got no staff, they're all working from home, or they're furloughed or whatever, then just record or get sent the BBC bulletin, which is great. Well done to the BBC for that one.
Yeah, a couple of other great things you might have seen this week as well. Radio 1's Stay at Home Live Lounge I particularly enjoyed, where they got loads of massive artists covering times like these by Foo Fighters. And Radio Today has a new podcast series. What? Isolation Station, Roy. You're replacing me.
No, we're not taking your job. It's Tony Dibben. It was his idea. He came up with this one. And we're doing it together. So we're basically just talking to radio presenters in their natural habitat, which is now their living room or under their stairs with a microphone. And Tony Dibben's going to be talking to them. The first couple are already out, so check it out in the usual places. Look for Radio Today Isolation Station.
Yes, so episodes on there already with Dave Berry, Sarah Champion, Stephanie Hurst, Jenny Faulkner and Alex Duffy as well. The new one just out in the last couple of days. The main thing I suppose we really wanted to talk about this week for a couple of minutes just here is Times Radio. There was a bit of a leak over the weekend, and then Monday morning, some official news from News UK that the lineup is going to feature Asma Mir and Stig Abel on Breakfast. We obviously knew about John Pienaar at Drive Monday to Thursday. Kathy Newman will do Friday Drive. Luke Jones and Jenny Kleeman will be on Weekend Breakfast Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Matt Chorley will do mid-mornings. And there is more to be announced, I think, still, of other presenters who are going to be on the lineup.
Yeah, lots of rumours on who those other presenters are going to be as well. But we don't do rumours here on this podcast, as we all fully well know. So we'll just have to wait for that announcement, which is probably due in the next week or so, I would say.
Yeah, and we have got a bid in to speak to Tim Lavelle, who's the programme director for Times Radio. We're going to do that in a few weeks' time when they announce some more presenters and when they tell us when they're going to launch, because they've just said summer at the moment. So hopefully in a few weeks' time, we'll have a clearer idea of when it's all happening. And we'll speak to Tim from Times Radio on this podcast next month, hopefully.
Did you see Matt Deegan's blog about Times Radio? That was quite interesting.
Yeah, fascinating blog. Lots of detail in there about the strategy and the idea behind it and what they should be doing and some thoughts on costs and all sorts of things. So have a look at Matt's blog. It's very interesting. And Matt is due on this podcast next week, actually, as well, on our roundtable with Trevor. So hopefully we'll delve a bit more into some of his thoughts on the matter.
I saw that you retweeted or gave Matt's blog a mention on Twitter, and then you got a reply from none other than Matthew Wright, he of former News UK employment, and he gave his reaction to Times Radio, didn't he? Did you, I'm guessing you saw that. He had your name in it.
Yeah, he picked out a bit of the highlight of Matt's blog and kind of summarised it, I think, didn't he?
Yeah. He said, from the little I saw, the phrases batshit mental and waste of money seem the most pertinent.
Yeah, that sums it up really, doesn't it? But yeah, there's lots of logic behind a lot of the decisions. And as I say, we'll put some questions to Tim in a few weeks' time and we'll see what he has to say. But yeah, I mean, one of the thrusts of Matt's blog, I think, and he'll go into more detail on this next week, was, you know, they're all great presenters, they're all great hires, the ones they've announced, and nothing at all against any of them. But I'm not sure they've got somebody who's going to massively draw in audience a la Chris Evans on Virgin or Chris Moyles on Radio X and those kind of strategies of launching a new radio station.
But do you want a big personality telling you the news? Because it's going to be that kind of radio station, isn't it? It's going to be very factual. So do you want a Chris Evans doing that, or do you just want somebody competent enough to read out the news bulletin?
Yeah, I want somebody who's competent, but ultimately people need to know it's there, and I'm not sure without, you know, a big name on the lineup, it's enough of a draw to make somebody switch from their existing radio station to try out this new one.
And I don't know if you saw this since last time we spoke to you, I'm sure you did, but Christian O'Connell, he's going national, isn't he? He's got a new show each evening on a whole host of radio stations pretty much all over Australia. So he's literally going national in Australia. And I loved his tweet that pretty much apologised for that. But good to see Christian having so much success down under.
He's been on at breakfast, obviously, a Gold 104.3 in Melbourne. That will stay. And then he'll be on in the evenings across Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth as well. Well done, Christian. Mm. And again, we'll try and get him on the podcast in a few weeks. I did tweet him and told him he needed to come on because we haven't heard from him for a bit. And he said he would do it. And I've sent him a DM and he's not replied. So if you're listening, Christian, come on, get back in touch. Sort it out. I know he's a bit busy.
Regular listener.
Yeah. Right. So there's lots of events actually starting to happen now virtually. The Student Radio Association had some online sessions last week that they did in place of their usual conference, which had to be cancelled because of coronavirus. All the winners from the New York Festival's Radio Awards were announced online as well. Details at radiotoday.co.uk of all the UK winners. Everyone's a winner at the New York Festival Awards. And the Young Audio Awards are going to be live streamed next week. For all the upcoming talent to win their prizes.
Yes, and you can see details of where and when on radiotoday.co.uk. And the actual event, which I don't know if this will actually happen, you know, in December. Radio Days Europe is scheduled for the 13th to the 15th of December. But the way things are going, will we be back to large gatherings by December? I'm not so sure, but let's keep our fingers crossed.
They're doing a lot of planning and booking more guests and everything for that. So fingers crossed in December, everything will be back to normal. Right, lovely to talk to you, Roy. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks because it's round table next week with Trevor and guests. So we'll be back on the something of May.
Yeah, the 13th, I think. Can I stick around, though, and listen to you and Leona? I believe you've got some cool jingles to play.
Oh, yes. And Leona is fantastic as well. You'll really enjoy it. So stick around here. She's coming up on the Radio Today programme.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Now, we've got another big name national presenter doing their show from home on the Radio Today programme this week, but someone who's also celebrating a big anniversary as well.
Good morning, this is Leona Graham on my 20th anniversary here at Absolute Radio. I began on the 28th of April in the year 2000. I'll tell you more soon. Now, The Killers.
Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine.
Blink 182, what's my age again? Well, that's something we'll not discuss, but I will tell you that I've been here 20 years today. I began in the year 2000, and I would like your request, please, from the year 2000 for having heard it for ages.
Celebrating 20 years of Leona Graham on Absolute Radio.
And this station really used to be called before it was called Absolute.
Never mind. Welcome to the podcast, Leona.
Hi, Stuart. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So 20 years to the day this week since your first show at Virgin. And save for the last few weeks, I guess, you're still working in the same building, doing daily shows at One Golden Square for Absolute and its various spin-offs.
Yes.
20 years. Blimey.
No, that's... seems like such a long time. And when the anniversary was upcoming, I almost didn't want to mention it because, I don't know, it just feels like such a long time when you put a number on it. But it's flown by. You know, it hasn't felt like 20 years, although my life's changed in many ways. I've been doing the same sort of job that whole time, going to the same building, as you say, until lockdown. I've been going to the same place for 20 years.
And we'll get on to kind of the last couple of decades in a few minutes, but is this the longest it's now been since you've been in that building in 20 years?
When you say two decades as well, that sounds even longer. yes, it must be, because the most holidays I've ever had, maximum 2 weeks. So, yeah, the longest ever.
Wow. And how are you doing at home? I've seen from the pictures you put on social media, you've got quite a house full of people and animals.
Yes, I do have a massive house full. One partner, two daughters, two sons, two dogs, one cat. And it's pretty chaotic, but we have got into what one listener described as an isolation groove. So we've got into a bit of a routine now. We've settled into it well, and we're ticking along quite nicely. I mean, I get into my studio, I say get in as if I've travelled. I've walked downstairs into the studio at about 8:30 each morning. And the boys, the younger boys, they do the Joe Wicks workout at 9 o'clock each morning, and then they do their schoolwork. My partner teaches them. And then the older girls, who are 17 and 20, they are in charge of their own sort of work, if you know what I mean. We don't tell them, come on downstairs at this time. And they can work in their rooms. But recently they've been choosing to work downstairs so that everyone's together in one big room.
And it's all about being nice and quiet for you, obviously, when you're recording or doing links or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem for that is my youngest son, Dexter, he's six. He's generally quite a loud child. The dogs are very, very barky. If a delivery guy comes, that's it. They just go absolutely crazy. And those are the two main issues, but it's okay. I mean, apart from this, something could happen in this interview because we're doing quite a long bit of speech. But on the radio, my links are sort of a minute maximum, aren't they? So it's not too bad.
Most listeners will know that my dog usually barks most weeks in this anyway, so don't worry about it. It's fine.
Really? Okay.
The more dogs barking, the better. And in terms of your studio, it's almost like you knew this was going to happen because I think only a few weeks before lockdown, you'd got the home studio already.
Yeah, so basically we moved into this house last year and did a full renovation. So it was always in the plans to build a studio because in previous years, I just built a sort of temporary thing under the stairs. It wasn't temporary. It was a bit like this, but small and uncomfortable. I had to crawl in because for many years, initially I did voiceovers. I was the voice of what was Virgin Radio before. I did all the voiceovers as well as presenting. So I was doing voiceover sessions almost daily. And then as the digital stations grew, I was recording more and more from home. So I've always had some sort of studio at home. But when we did the renovation, I said, right, I don't want it under the stairs now. I want an actual allocated space with four walls and a proper height ceiling. Covered it in all the soundproofing gear. That actually looks nice as well as sounds better, as you see from all the photographs I do from different angles, and I've got colour changing light bulbs to make it a bit more interesting. Seriously though, a couple of years ago we had several instances of terrorism as well, and that is when the topic of actually presenting my main Absolute Radio show came up as a possibility of doing it from home, because there were several bad things happen in a short space of time, and as a station we started to think, what would we do if we couldn't get in? So that was another reason I wanted to have a full facility at home as well, because we kind of knew it was coming. We never knew it would be a virus, but we thought something might happen in the future.
And with this, I think Absolute was quite quick to get everybody working at home, and that's because you were all set up on Zeta2Go and things already to just be able to do it straight away.
Yeah, I wasn't the only one that was set up, because most of us have got Zeta2Go and a home microphone, and we're recording a lot of our digital shows at home already anyway, so it was just an extension of that.
And in terms of, you know, physically not being in the office, what are you missing the most? How are you getting on in terms of keeping in touch with colleagues and producers and people like that?
I miss seeing everybody. I like seeing Dave Berry every morning. He's such a nice guy to meet first thing in the morning, and he always welcomes me into the studio. He opens the door for me and he says, Leona, your workstation awaits. And he stands to one side, honestly, and then I walk in and it's just a lovely welcome. And then I have a bit of a banter with Matt Dyson and the guys, and I really enjoy that in the mornings. And then I miss seeing Ben Burrell afterwards, likewise, you know. So, but we are still in communication. We've actually got a WhatsApp group, us DJs, so we have a bit of a laugh on that. But most of our banter is out in public on Twitter. I mean, ever since social media, I've had so much fun with my fellow DJs, just taking the mickey out of them. Bush and Richie, I'm constantly taking the mickey out of, because they're so easy to take the mickey out of, because they're just, well, a pair of plonkers, really, but very entertaining. But yeah, so it's been quite entertaining in that respect, bit of a laugh, you know?
And a lot of what Absolute does anyway is kind of try to do standout events and features and things, and you've still managed to do that as a station with things like the Front Room Festival and some of the things around mental health. So it's good that things like that can carry on and you can all be part of it from wherever you are.
Yeah, that's right. When this first started to happen in week one, actually it was minus week one because we hadn't officially gone into lockdown, but we had a trial run from me at home. And we were unsure how to approach it on air. We didn't know what the mood would be. And we realised that we could be humorous about the situation, but that we also had to be mindful of the serious issues and the mental health awareness. And we did some special shows in that regard, Time to Listen. Even yesterday, we did a key workers request show. And then, of course, the Front Room Festival, which was the world's first ever in-home acoustic radio festival. The whole thing was put together in less than 2 weeks because we know that our listeners love live music and they were missing it. So we really put that together quickly and hopefully made a great show out of it. By the responses, I think that was a big success.
And in terms of some of the stuff you're talking about on air, I notice you're talking a lot more about your own home situation and things that are going on in your life during the lockdown as well, which is nice.
Who would have thought that we would all be in the same situation? I mean, it's just so bizarre, really, that the whole world is going through a very similar thing. And it boils down to, I guess, three categories. You're either working from home, you're furloughed at home, or you're a key worker who, when you're not at work, you're at home. So the chances are, you know, people listening are at home, which is easy to relate to because so am I. So I feel like I can talk about my life because it's going to relate to people. So I can talk about the fact that I was gardening at the weekend, that we had a barbecue, that we're going for our daily walk, I'm doing a bit of DIY, or what it's like to go shopping, because we're all having the same experience, you know, having to queue up 2 metres apart, that kind of thing. So it's almost easier as a broadcaster because everything I'm saying can relate to people right now because we're all going through a very similar experience.
Well, take us back 20 years then. So it's 20 years this week since that first show that you did on Virgin Radio, which I think was a Friday night. How did you get to Virgin in the first place? How did you get hired?
Okay, right. Let me think way, way back. Okay, so what happened? I was on Core, which was a digital radio station.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And yeah, so because I'd just come off Surf, which was a Brighton station, and I took the opportunity to get involved in digital. It was all very new and exciting, and I went to a digital radio launch party. And at that party, I bumped into Nick Goodman, who I'd known from Power FM. He introduced me to Henry Owens, who was the programme controller of Virgin Radio at the time. And then Henry said, I'd like to get you in, have a chat. So that's how it began. I went in and had an interview with Henry Owens, and then they hired me. That was it.
Wow. And what do you remember about that first Friday night that you did on air on 12:15?
I've got the playlist in front of me.
Wow. You kept it?
Yeah, I just shoved it in a box. I've got a little box of memorabilia. And my first track was All Saints, Pure Shores. Then it was Oasis, Half the World Away. Third track, Robbie Williams, Let Me Entertain You. And then I did my first link, and I've got my little notes I've scribbled onto the playlist here, and it says, this is LG, new show for Friday night, Moby on the way. So those are my little notes I just jotted down.
It was prophetic.
Yeah. And I remember being incredibly nervous waiting to do that first link, as you would be, because I'd gone from local radio to a digital station to this big national brand. And I remember doing the link, closing the microphone, thinking, oh, that wasn't any different to doing a link anywhere else. And I suddenly felt very normal about it and thought, actually, you know, I can do this.
Yeah. And at the time, I think Virgin was it home of 10 great songs in a row. So there wasn't actually a lot for you to do. It was speed links. It was, you know, shut up and get on with the next record.
Actually, yeah, I can see my scribbled writing. VR, home of 10. So that's my little reminder of that. And yes, it was very different then. They didn't want, you know, what I'd been doing at the weekend. They didn't want anything about me. Didn't start a sentence with I unless you're on the breakfast show or perhaps the drive time show. The rest of us were music DJs. We were there to just play the music and not say very much, just introduce the songs and try and encourage someone to listen that little bit longer by telling someone something good about the next song.
And in terms of where you went from there, obviously you got on and did various other shows on the network, and then you were part of Classic Rock when that first started as Virgin Classic Rock initially, which is what, 17 years ago, something like that?
You tell me. Can't remember the year. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was 2003, now you mention it. Yeah, so I think we'd had Virgin Groove before that. You may have to correct me on that. I'm not certain.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
But we had a station just playing off a computer in the background, which was doing well. And I think we had Virgin Classic as well, which was just playing off a computer and doing really well just on the internet. And then they thought, well, let's have Virgin Classic Rock and put it on digital radio. And I definitely wanted to be involved in this because that related to my knowledge of rock music, which was my first love from the age of about 15. So I said, yep, I definitely want to do this station. And that's when the whole voice tracking began.
And in terms of the other stuff you've done over the last 20 years, obviously it's not just been this is Virgin Radio of 10 great songs in a row. You've done a lot more important things than that. Interviews, gigs. What are your kind of big memories, your main highlights?
Of the last 20 years? Okay. Obviously my first show, which we've already talked about, but what I didn't say was Virgin was very much party at the time, and the night before my first show, to celebrate my arrival, the whole station had gone to the pub, which was normal then.
This was a Chris Evans era, was it?
Yeah, but it was a certain load of managers at that time that were also quite keen to go to the pub. And so they said, look, let's go to the pub, celebrate this new DJ. So we did that, and I got very, very drunk. And I, even though my first show was on in the evening, I was still really rough. So that's what I remember about that first show. But yeah, over the years, meeting legends, like I met Slash a few years ago, and I actually got him to sign my arm because I've got a tattoo of his green guitar, which I then had tattooed, his name, where he'd signed it in Biro. I met Brian Johnson from AC/DC, Brian May a few times, which really excites me because I'm actually at the point now with Brian May where he goes, hi, Leona. You know, he actually remembers me, which means something amazing. I met Stevie Nicks. My first V Festival broadcast, which was in the year 2000, the year I started, was very, very memorable. I loved doing that. And then as the time went on, I moved on to Saturday nights to the Absolute Classic Rock Party. And that's when I... My daughters Jessica and Rachel moved in, my stepdaughters. They were 4 and 7 at the time. And they came with me every Saturday night along with our giant dog we had then, Barney. He was a bull mastiff. And they basically grew up in that radio station every single Saturday night. And there was no other radio stations there then. It was just me, the kids and the dog just running around, having fun. And I hope that sort of party spirit came through on the show. I don't know. Other highlights, gigs, going to see Muse for the first time, which was, I'd say, life-altering when I saw them on the Drones tour. And more emotional moments, for example, when my mum passed away, I was actually walking to the studio from Waterloo Station and was given the news on the phone by my sister. And I still went in and did my show. I think I was in shock. But during that show, I played Queen, The Show Must Go On, because my mum was a dancer. She was a Tiller girl at the London Palladium, stuff like that. So she was very show busy. She loved a bit of show business. And I played that song for her, and that was a very emotional moment. I think one of the first times I really put some of myself on the air and really connected with the audience. And the response I had from that was incredible. But as you know, now I do more of that, do more sort of connection with the audience now, which I like doing.
Yeah, and I suppose that's changed really since you moved to daytime, has it?
Yes.
In terms of doing, getting more of you on the air, and Paul's been getting you to come out of your shell a bit more.
Paul has been... exactly that. He has made me come out of my shell. I was so used to being a don't talk about yourself DJ, just talk about music. I found it very hard to talk about me. And he said, look, just start off slow. Just do one personality link per show. And I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified when I first started doing them, because inevitably you get a message from someone saying, oh, why are you mentioning that? Someone moaning about something. And then that would revert me back into my shell and I wouldn't say anything again. But I've got more confident, and I hope that when I do talk about myself, it is of a relatable way. I hope people don't think, oh, I'm just going on about myself. I want to talk about it in a way that makes people think, well, I do that, or, you know, this happens in my household, or that's remote, you know, slightly interesting. I'm not trying to be the world's funniest person here. I'm just trying to be slightly interesting to go between the songs, if you know what I mean. You know, I still believe The Breakfast Show are the best at doing that, and definitely Bush and Richie on Home Time. But I do like to give a little snippet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and in terms of the station positioning, you kind of that suits you down to the ground, because it's all about real music, and that's, you know, that comes across in your passions that you have.
Yes, that side of it is very easy for me, because I was into real music from the beginning, apart from a little phase of Wham, although that does relate to absolute 80s. So again, it's just totally fine. But I was always into my rock music. So that makes me connect with the audience, because they believe it when I say, like today, I played a whole lot of Rosie. And when I say, I love this song, they know I'm not lying. And I can always post a picture of me in the 80s with all my rock clothes on, and people can see that there's a history there. So I think that's where I found my groove, my connection with the audience, I think. The connection to the real music. And real music for me is bands that play their own instruments. I don't like manufactured pop. I don't like bands where you've got five singers and no one's playing any instruments. I like real bands and real music, and that comes across, I hope, in my shows.
Absolutely. No, it really does. And you mentioned the voiceovers that you obviously used to do for your station voice at Virgin and Absolute when it first started as well as being a presenter.
Yeah.
And the geeks listening to this will know you were the station voice at Capital and Five Live and Radio 1 and GWR and E4 and lots of other places as well.
Yeah.
How did you find it when you were the station voice and also presenting on the station? Was that odd?
No, it felt completely normal, really. I know, but when you look back, you think, no, that's not right. That is not normal. But at the time, it just seemed normal. It got a bit much when I was doing, like, the album chart, and I'd say, this is Oasis, and then my own voice would go, number 10. I said, look, can you get me a male bunch of numbers, because this isn't going to work.
Talking into your own sweepers, yeah.
Yeah, I know, ridiculous. But, yeah, I think it was when we became Absolute. I think I did the voiceovers for a year or two, and then somebody said, you know what, I think we should probably change the voice, and it did make sense. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing it. I mean, I can't get enough of radio. I love it. So the more the better.
And people perhaps wouldn't remember that you were the Radio 1 station voice for a couple of years in the late 90s as well, because that was before you were at Virgin, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So I did. When I moved to Virgin, I gave up all my other stations, so I was on everywhere at that point. I think I was on GWR, Capital, Radio 1, Go. I was on every single station and every single TV channel at one point. I mean, you couldn't sit down and watch the television without hearing my voice. But it did backfire, because what happened then was everybody went, well, we don't really want to use that person that's been on everything. But as I say, in terms of radio, I had to give it up. That was part of the deal. You come to us, you do our voiceovers and do our shows. But in terms of TV, I think I might have peaked too soon or done too much at one time. So,
but you're still doing voiceovers all around the world and stuff as well, I think, and commercials and bits for Magic and Planet Rock and all over the place.
Yeah, I do some stuff abroad, because the problem I've had with TV voiceovers here is that some voiceover agents have said, well, you're too associated with the Absolute brand to be anonymous and advertising, you know, this shampoo on some other radio station. So I've lost some in that respect, so I do some abroad instead. So it's fine.
Cool. And I know your ambition was always to get onto national radio. You know, you've mentioned that you were at Surf and Power, and I think you were at Eagle, and obviously some student radio as well. So your ambition was to get to national radio, and your ambition then was to stay at national radio. I think you're doing all right, 20 years.
Yeah, so exactly. That's what happened was I knew what I wanted to do, which made it very easy. So I went to university, there was a student station. It was like a light bulb moment when I saw the student radio station, because originally I was going to be an actress. So I walked into the student union, they were doing an outside broadcast, W963 radio, and it was just, ding, this is it, this is what I want to do, because I was also really into my music and always making people mixtapes, saying, listen to this, you must listen to this new album, and really forcing my music down everyone's throats. And I thought, well, this is perfect. I can do a bit of that side of show business that I want to do and go on about music. So I started with a Thursday night rock show. Then when I left university, I had a single-minded vision to do that.
And I think with Choice, you were part of the kind of launch team there, weren't you, in Birmingham?
Yes. Prior to Choice, I was on Power FM, a pirate station in Nottingham. I'd moved to Nottingham after university at Warwick. And I listened to this radio station and thought, oh, they're good. Contacted them, said, I'd like to send you a demo tape. Now, I was very ignorant and naive. I didn't know that it was pirate. I didn't know how illegal it was, and hence didn't talk about it for years afterwards. And this is one of the first times I've ever mentioned it. But yes, so they accepted my demo tape and thought, this is weird. We've got demo tape from someone. How very professional. So they immediately gave me a show, and I did Weekend Breakfast. Again, not realising the risk I was taking, because I think I was told a couple of years later I could have got a 5-year radio ban, which would have ruined everything. But I didn't ever get caught. And it was a very kind of professional pirate radio station. There was a schedule. And there was a playlist. Well, to some extent, there was a A category box and a B category. So hour one, you'd play songs from box A, and hour two, songs from box B. And I taught myself all about the genre of music, which was R&B, soul, hip-hop, reggae. I bought the Voice newspaper and learnt everything I could until I became an expert. And then when Choice FM came along, I helped write the application with my boss from Power FM and one other guy, and we wrote the application, submitted it. And then when Choice began in Birmingham, I initially started doing the advert scheduling, and I was using a system called Broadnet. I don't know if that's still active now.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I ended up, well, I was on air the first day. I wasn't supposed to be, but the first day I ended up getting thrown onto the air. And then I moved onto overnights from there. And then all the other stations that you mentioned, but always looking for the next thing, always sending out tapes. And it was easier in a way then, because you sent out a physical tape. I think that's easier than sending an email that everyone's going to ignore. Don't you think?
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. It's much harder to put a tape in the bin, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I suppose so. But I would spend ages making my tapes look really good. I'd label it really neatly and write on it really neatly and then do a covering letter. And I've kept a lot of those covering letters. Got a massive folder of all the letters I sent out to remind me of how hard I worked to get started. And as I said, as soon as I got one job, I'd think about the next one. And I didn't stop until I got onto national radio. And then my next goal was to stay there. And as you say, I'm still going. Touch wood.
And I think you're working quite hard still now. I've been trying to tot up how many hours you actually do on the Absolute Radio Network each week. Is it 52 hours you're doing a week at the moment?
I've never added it up. but yeah, I do a show on Absolute Radio every day, Absolute 80s and Absolute Classic Rock. And, you know, I love it. I love all the different stations and all the different shows I do. And especially now at home because I'm not commuting. So I've saved 2 hours a day already. you know, it's fantastic. And having this at home means that I can do my digital shows almost as live as well. Like on Saturday on Absolute 80s, it was a beautiful, hot, sunny afternoon. And I just knew that everybody would be tuned in, having barbecues, listening in the garden. So I was able to come into the studio and then do a load of shout-outs that had come in that afternoon to give it that live feeling. And I do that on Absolute Classic Rock every night as well. Because I can. It's just so easy.
Right. Well, I know you've got shows to make, so we'll let you get back to it. But thank you for talking to us. And what, here's to the next 20 years. We'll see you in 2040, yeah?
Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. Stuart, don't. Thank you so much for the chat anyway.
It was 20 years ago today that Leona Graham started broadcasting on this radio station. And we've not been able to get her off since. No matter what we say. Happy 20th, Leona Graham.
Fabulous. Thanks so much, Leona. Just before David Lloyd and his radio moments, a reminder to have a look at Clean Feed if you are looking for a solution to get on the air or get guests onto your podcast or your show remotely without them going near your studio. Cleanfeed.net is the place to look. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and connecting decent quality audio just using your browser. You can even record your podcast within the browser as well. There's a completely free version, so it won't cost you anything to get started, and it'll only take you 30 seconds to get signed up and doing your first live interview or recording. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Radio
Moments. This week, 15 years ago, it's an emotional time at Capital.
Of course, the nice thing about being a DJ, when special moments happen in your life, if you just like to talk a bit like I do, you have to mention something and talk about it on the radio. So, you know, the most amazing thing was getting married. The next amazing thing was when my little girl Scarlett was born. And then when Jack was born, crikey, we were sort of virtually complete in the Fox family. And I was always trying to work out the perfect record to play when my children were born. And it's one of those records that makes me sad now, but happy at the same time. Right, Creed with Arms Wide Open. What a song.
The end of Neil Fox's days on Capital this week, 15 years ago. The BBC World Service is now said to deliver worldwide audiences of almost 280 million people.
You're with the BBC.
The World Service name came into use 55 years ago this week. It had been the General Overseas Service.
You're tuned to the General Overseas Service of the BBC. This is the British Broadcasting Corporation.
And before 1932, it was called the Empire Service, with that famous opening announcement from John Reith.
We shall transmit comparatively simple programmes. The programmes will neither be very interesting nor very good.
Happy 55th anniversary to the name BBC World Service. A couple of weeks ago, we lost Ronan O'Reilly, the UK's pirate radio pioneer, having launched Radio Caroline in 1964. In 1968, this week, after Radio Caroline had sunk, it's Johnny Walker made his debut at last on the BBC.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, madam. Welcome to the very first Johnny Walker show on Radio 1. Now, listen, one thing I must lay on you right now, I am not nervous in the slightest. Now, it really is lovely to be with you again. Listen, let me tell you something. I decided that being a DJ is like riding a push bike, you see, and once you've done it, you never forget. But if you haven't sort of ridden for a long time, you kind of wobble again at the beginning. So we'll be wobbling a bit this afternoon, so be ready for that, okay? We've got four fantastic live sessions this afternoon on the show from JJ Jackson and the greatest soul band in the land. From the Equals, from Spooky Tooth, last but not least, Sharon Tand in the Fleur-de-Lis with Tony.
Johnny Walker's first words on the BBC this week in 1968. National commercial radio now attracts 22 million listeners. But back in the analogue days of 1993, we were just about this week to get our second national station.
5 seconds and counting to the official launch of Virgin 1215.
Hello to everyone here in Manchester and across the UK. It's 12:15 on Friday, April 30th, 1993, a date which will go down, we hope, in broadcasting history. I'm Richard Branson, and this is the radio station I've always wanted to hear. I hope you'll find it the station you too have always wanted to hear. Virgin 12:15 is now officially on the air!
Good afternoon. The launch of Virgin 1215 this week, 27 years ago. It was Britain's second national commercial radio station. That licence, of course, became Absolute Radio. Radio 1 broadcast 24 hours a day, but it didn't do that until 29 years ago this week.
Wednesday, 1FM is your 24-hour station. From midnight till morning, we'll bring you the best music and the latest news. This is Bob Harris, and from this Wednesday, I'll be on midnight to 4, Monday to Thursday. Then it's Andy Peebles on Friday night. At the weekend, 1FM's newest voice, Neil James, will see you through the night from 2 till 4. Night and day from this Wednesday, 24-hour Radio 1, 97 to 99 FM.
Bob Harris selling in the excitement of Radio 1's 24-hour magic this week in 1991. During wartime, the transmitters of Radio Luxembourg were seized and used as a relay for propaganda, delivered by a chap the press called Lord Haw-Haw because of his voice. His last broadcast was heard this week, 75 years ago.
Let me tell you that in Germany there still remains the spirit of unity and the spirit of strength. Let me tell you that here we have a united people who are modest in their wishes. They are not imperialists.
Lord Haw-Haw, he attracted millions of listeners in the UK, most of them not believing really what he said. He was later hanged for treason. So, with the first Wagoner's Walk soap on Radio 2 51 years ago...
Of course, not many of the inhabitants are Londoners by birth. Most have come from all corners of the country to live and work here. Like the girl who's just stepped out of the taxi in this, the first episode called Moving Pictures.
The final Noel Edmonds Breakfast Show 42 years ago...
That one's for me, to Etta Little and Nelson Pigford. And You Take My Heart Away. Double time, 9 minutes before nine. The Golden Hour this morning with Simon will be way back to 1958. But I have one final duty to perform here, if I can just get the door open. I've only just checked that the cupboard's nice and empty.
BBC Radio Derby beginning officially 49 years ago.
The Derby Ram, played by the Derby Concert Orchestra, welcomes you to this...
And the new BBC studios opening at Savoy Hill in London, 97 years ago.
The broadcasting company is not a monopoly. Last year, the manufacturers of wireless apparatus met together by invitation of the post office, as it was realised that broadcasting would have to be controlled by one broadcasting authority if the chaos, which today is so obvious in America... were to be avoided here.
And Savoy Hill, of course, these days is where the Radio TechCon conference is held. They've just released this year's date, November the 30th, it'll be. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and Roy Martin. And to my main guest this week, Leona Graham. Next week, Trevor Dan returns with the Radio Today Roundtable for May. And we're doing it virtually again, of course, as the lockdown continues.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
The original music for this podcast was composed by Macassio.